Today we're bringing you a special edition of the Cattleman's Call to talk more about the implications of their new world screwworm detection in Texas. Obviously something that we have anticipated happening, and not a matter of if, but a matter of when. And now to respond, we are talking with the South Dakota State Veterinarian, Dr. Mendel Miller. And Dr. Miller, thank you so much for being with us today.
You bet. My pleasure, Ellen.
Dr. Miller, we have seen so many things right now floating around in the media, floating around on our social pages. And of course, there's so many questions to be answered. But maybe let's just start with, what does this detection mean for South Dakota livestock producers?
Well, honestly, Ella, it doesn't mean a lot for South Dakota producers. You know, it's a one location in Texas, one animal, as far as we know. Texas officials are on site and inspecting all the animals at the ranch. The way I understand it, it was a beef herd, a cow-calf herd. And, you know, at this moment, they're taking steps to control movement in and out of not only that ranch, but a 20-kilometer area around that ranch. So South Dakota, you know, we're not affected. We don't know, have any indication that the flies are in South Dakota. So we're really relying on the Texas officials to control the movement of animals out of that zone and respond like they have been preparing to respond for the last few months.
And that's just it. With that time that we had to prepare, the USDA actually made that New World Screwworm Emergency Response Plan. And you already talked about, you know, some of the things that are happening in Texas to respond, but maybe outline a few more things that the response plan includes or steps that could be taken.
Yeah, and that's sometimes referred to as a playbook, which I think it's really good to refer it that way because it kind of is. It's I don't know, it's like 60 pages long. So I have read it. I just lost track of the pages, but it addresses almost everything you could think of, from the affected premises to the area around it, to the treatment of animals once they've been diagnosed with it, to prevention steps, to the release of the sterile flies, which is the control mechanism that works best, to FDA approved drugs and things like that to treat affected animals and things like that. So it literally covers all of those areas. It's got nine big sections and every section has a subsection and things like that. So, but yeah, it's an all-encompassing playbook. Again, movement controls for the affected animals, the affected farm, and then certainly an area around that affected farm. Texas officials are stopping traffic, have roadblocks and things like that all around that area. And, you know, making sure that animals are not leaving that area when they shouldn't. I think they said they had a 3-day shutdown of movement completely till they could really get their hands around whether it was on other premises that was nearby. And then, you know, at that point, then they would open it up to some movement out of that area under permit, after animals have been inspected or treated or both.
And you mentioned travel there. I think that's a really important thing to hit on too, of what is in place to prevent animals that are in Texas from bringing that fly or bringing that larva up to South Dakota.
Sure, exactly. The movements that are in place are certainly enhanced in Texas because of their response, but we're really not changing anything in South Dakota. You'll see some states put in emergency orders and things like that simply because legally the way their laws are written, they must respond that way. We feel very confident in South Dakota that our requirements that we have are really good at preventing disease from entering South Dakota if people follow the rules. And those rules are getting a certificate of veterinary inspection to come into the state from every state, but Texas especially, you know, now. And that what that entails is an accredited veterinarian that goes out and actually inspects the animals and determines they're healthy or there's no signs of contagious disease. And those animals can travel to South Dakota. And we believe, you know, we believe in that system. And, you know, at some point, if it spreads, certainly, or if it seems like a state like Texas may have difficulty containing it because it's in a bigger area or something like that, then we may impose some, you have to have the certificate of veterinary inspection within a few days or a few hours, or depending on, you know, just how that looks. But honestly, the regulatory framework is in place all the time. And if we follow that framework, we're confident that that we can prevent movement of any disease into the state.
And I think this can be a good reminder to just have that established relationship with your local veterinarian. But, you know, what are some of the things that livestock producers can be doing or should be doing just to help make sure that their animals stay healthy and safe, even with some of the uncertainties?
Well, I think certainly one of the first things, you know, I mean, it is in Texas, and I think all southwestern states are at risk. And so, you know, I don't want to make it like a red flag alert or something like that. But if you don't have to take animals from that area or don't have to take animals to that area and bring them back, I certainly would. I mean, that would be a precaution you could take. With that said, again, trust the system. And if you need to, if you have a bull or something like that, that you're getting out of those areas, then get the health certificate and make sure it's healthy and bring it in. And then with biosecurity as a whole, it's always good to quarantine those animals that you bring in and, you know, keep them away from your herd and things like that for a while, look them over yourself and things like that. And just, you know, take those steps again that probably people should take all the time, but in a time where there's a perceived crisis or a perceived new emerging disease, then it really refocuses everyone on doing the right thing.
And we just have so many of those livestock producers that are going to be doing these things and so many animal health officials working hard right now. But there's another piece of the puzzle, and I think that's the consumers that are seeing so many things in social media and on the news. And I think it's just important to talk about this not only as an animal health issue, but is there just any food safety concerns around this at all that they should be aware of?
There really isn't. It's not a food safety problem. Again, the normal precautions that are in place every day protecting the food supply in the United States are still there, and they can be ramped up. But honestly, again, we have a lot of confidence in the system. But animals are inspected prior to slaughter, after slaughter. If there was a problem or something was found, then that animal or product is diverted out of the food chain, never enters the food chain and things like that. So that protection is there. Particularly with this particular, you know, fly, or it's the larva that we're most concerned about. But that this larva is so unique. It feeds on live tissue, not dead necrotic tissue like the larva of most flies. So it's not going to, if it came in contact with meat somewhere down the line, it's not going to lay eggs on that meat or anything like that, like a typical fly might, because it's not live tissue. So it also doesn't lay eggs on fruit and vegetables and all those sorts of things. So not only is the meat side of things, you know, we have a high degree of confidence that it's safe, but all food should be safe.
Well, thank you, Dr. Miller, for that clarity, because I think it is so important. We talk about that with almost any animal health crisis, of that it's important that we're maintaining the food system safely and securely, and that we have these procedures in place for a reason, and these inspections that are happening, and it's all for the food safety aspect. And I think that is so critical. And obviously it's a collaborative effort. Things are happening around the country right now to make sure that we're addressing the animal safety side, we're addressing the concerns of the consumers. So it is definitely a multifaceted event. And I think it's important to remember that this is something that's not brand new. We've actually dealt with it before, and we've eradicated it once before.
Yeah, there again, we've been successful in the past. We kind of know what worked at that time. Obviously, it's been a long time, so there's some changes, and industry's changed and things like that. But honestly, we have tools that worked in the past, and we can study those tools and study those events. And you know, at that time, it was certainly much more well-established and much more widespread. So if we can keep it from becoming really widespread, then we should be able to gain control of it and hopefully eradicate it again once the, you know, the sterile fly technique is so important in that. And once they can have the facilities where they can produce the number of flies that they need, then hopefully, you know, just it's kind of a race against time now, control the spread until we can have the number of flies that that can help us kind of push it back.
Absolutely. And those efforts are happening today. You know, they are responding and things are happening. And so we'll just continue to monitor the situation, but feel confident in our health officials and the people that are working on it. And we're just so grateful that you are here with us today to share more of this really important information.
You bet. Thank you. Pleasure being here.
Once again, we've been joined today by Dr. Mendel Miller, the South Dakota State Veterinarian, and he has been enlightening us about what this detection of the New World screwworm in Texas means for South Dakota livestock producers and, of course, important information as the situation unfolds. Once again, this has been a special edition of the Cattleman's Call, and I'm Ella Stiefvater.